You're listening to Chugging Bleach, the only podcast where the bounce count.
Welcome to Chugging Bleach, the only Gigaboots podcast about the animation powerhouse that is Bleach TV.
It's also movies.
Yes, there are also movies. But the main thing we review
and
is
OVAs.
Bleach television.
Did we watch the OVA?
Yeah, we watched the OVA. Of course we did.
And there's also live action movies.
Yes.
Movie. Singular. Singular. Singular.
For now.
And when we finish all this, we got to cover a book. Or multiple books.
Wait, what?
Are we going to do any of the stage plays?
If they put those on Blu-ray, I would commission. I would say we yes.
Commit.
Yeah.
Because those look pretty cool, but they are long over and never got brought to the U.S. But this time we watched episodes 195.
Who's we?
We being the usual members, me, Bob Video Games, and my other co-hosts, Dan Video Games.
That's it. That's my intro sound this week.
Great.
God damn it.
Chris Wolfhart.
You idiot. Obviously, I removed my organs before coming here.
And Dr. Agro.
Nothing personal, kid.
I was really floored that it wasn't in an episode, technically.
Yes, that was just a gag after a credit thing.
God.
But it was, you know, iconic.
Yeah, it is. I've seen more of that gif than any other part of Bleach.
That's fair.
I didn't think that was real. Like, what the first time I saw it, it was in 480p, and I figured it was a fan animation.
It was an AMVL bit, right?
But yeah, we watched episodes 195 through 199.
Oh my god, we're about to break
but
through
that's
the 200.
Only four episodes.
Good job, commenter. You're so smart. Anyways, how about I give you a dollar and you give me a 10? And then I give you this 10 back and you make change for a 20. I love every job I ever worked to retail this, like, don't fall for it. And I'm like, how could I? Oh my God. Are you employing cashiers who fall for that?
Wait, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
wow.
Thing where you give someone a bill and then you tell them that you want to get the change back and you're like, oh, I have the... Because they go to give you the change, right? And it's $8 and some change. And then you give them the $2 or whatever. And you go, oh, you can just give me that 10 back. Here you go. And then you do that all the way up. Yeah, people mm-hmm. fall for that. People are really bad at math.
It's called a pigeon drop.
Yep.
Huh. Man.
There you go. This is Chugging Bleach, the podcast you go to hear about Bleach and crimes.
Audience, please don't commit crimes. At least not ones you learned from Dan.
Yeah, especially these crimes. Like, just don't.
But yeah, we got to talk about Bleach. But first, Chris, I hear you can get early access to Bleach content we talk about. No, wait. To content where we talk about Bleach.
Yes. If you would like early access to this show and many other benefits, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to many benefits, such as early access to this Chugging Bleach. And indeed, if you're listening to this on YouTube, there is most likely another episode waiting for you on the Patreon. You also get early access to Pokemon Go to the Movies, our monthly review show where we cover every Pokemon movie. You also get various other benefits and help fund a patron-funded show once every month. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Thank you, Chris. Now, if only I could have... remember what happened in these episodes. If only someone like...
I have you covered!
Remember.
Episode 195. Noitora and Nell were fighting. Noitora wants to stop Nell from using her resurrection, but he can't. Her release is Praise Gamuza. And she turns into a centaur with like a double-sided lance and gets real big goat horns.
Okay, you might recall last episode of Chugging Bleach, I was like, I knew she turned into a full-grown lady because I went to look up how to spell her name one time. Well, last week during the podcast, I found out about this horse form because I thought it was safe to finally look!
You fool!
I know! How did I not expect her to turn into a horse?
Yeah, I also did not know this was a thing. My initial reaction was, wow, the centaur fucker community was not as well developed back then.
Real pioneer, Kubo.
Yeah, I completely forgot about this.
I didn't. I don't know how you can forget.
Yeah, this is fucking insane.
She uses Lanzador Verde and throws her lance and, like, becomes a drill and it cracks Noitora's weapon and like pins him to a rock. We cut to the Saeya Poro fight, and Bawa Bawa dives at him, and Peche leaps off. He reaches into his pants, and it really seems like he's going to grab his dick, and Saeya Poro is deeply horrified by this. But it's actually a lightsaber, and he slashes him. It's his sword called Ultima. He says the blade is made of Reishi, and then turns back to Ishida and is like, hey, Rashida, look, it's like your thing. My thing's like your thing. And Ishida then tells him, don't say that. Stop saying that. And then they run a really extended comedy beat that involves a Japanese pun. It ends in a dick joke and a fake title card for Bleach with the Donchaka telling the audience it was inappropriate and has been censored.
It's great. These guys continue to be the best part of this arc.
Saeya Poro is like, I don't deal with comic relief. Big statue guys, go kill them. Then Dodonchaka pulls out a big Oni club from his mouth and just sends them both flying. Then Peche gives a big speech about how him and Dodonchaka never stop training and improving themselves for Master Nell, and not refusing to take them seriously is why Saeya Poro is going to lose. Peche jumps onto Dodonchaka's back, and like Dodonchaka turns his mouth into a fucking cannon, and they do a really big Saro called Saro. What the hell is it called?
Combination?
Saro Syncretio.
Oh, Syncretico, because they synchronized.
Syncretico, yes. Yeah. Saro Syncretico, because it's synchronized.
It's basically the Moonanites when they lock together and do the
thing. Oh my god.
I thought it's safe. God!
It kind of is like the quad laser. Anyway, they shoot the big ball at him, and then we cut back to Nell and Noitora. Nell's going to kill him, but then she turns back into a baby. Noitora gloats and tries to kill her, and Ichigo jumps in and gets beaten up a little bit. Orihime tries to intercede, but Noitora grabs her and says he'll make her watch them die, and his jobber minion Tesla transforms into like a big boar man.
I laughed so hard.
And then we get like 2 solid minutes of Ichigo being brutalized by him. It's like that really out of pocket scene with Videl in Dragon Ball where she's just getting mulched. It's like that, but with Ichigo and this boar dude. Then we cut back to the Saeya Poro fight. There's a big explosion. He's fine. He explains that since they didn't completely meld their energies, he was able to fucking turn the floor lava and desynchronize them, and they split apart and they went around him. And he's like, I always knew you were Nell's guys. Did you think putting on different masks would trick me?
Yeah, they're using the same
names. I'm not a fucking
idiot.
Like, I'm not stupid, guys. Then we cut to Rukia. She's unconscious. And then the black guy, the black Espada with the spikes coming out of his head, is there. He calls Eren Yarrow a loser and draws his sword to kill Rukia and gives a really fucking long lecture that no one's around to hear. Then we cut to Chad and the guy he fought, God, what the hell was his name?
Yeah, I can never remember.
Right.
While you're trying to figure that out, I'm just going to post a picture of some strong men being strong.
This darn Manator.
Gantenban Mosqueda. That's the guy he was fighting. The Afro, star Afro guy who was a punch man. The stealth force is just there. They don't do anything. And then we cut back to Ichigo. It's like another 2 minutes of him getting pummeled.
It's not the stealth force. It's the Execution Squad, the evil guys.
The Hollow Stealth Force. Yes, the Hollow Stealth Force. The Ex-Kesis. Who are functionally identical to the Stealth Force, including probably sucking as bad.
They've got it all.
Anyway, he's like, I'm going to kill you now, Ichigo. I'm going to do a big punch down into you. But Kenpachi is there and stops it. And that's the end of the episode.
I screamed.
You get to realize that, all these guys are fucked now.
Yeah.
The Arrancar Encyclopedia. Gin will explain Neliel. He explains a bunch of shit we already knew about Neliel. Then Baby Nell drops in and says, this lady's pretty. And Gin says, oh, that's you. And then Nell does a little bit where she's like, are you saying that's how you view me? And Nell thinks your eyes are bad. And that's the joke. Episode 196. Kenpachi is here. Tesla tries to attack him and dies instantly.
Yes! Oh, so good.
It is.
Kenpachi just swings his sword up and splits him groin to ear. He then immediately looks at Noitora and is like, I'm still bored. You're next.
Yeah, I love the Noitora. It's like, hey, don't touch that guy.
Ichigo asks why he's here, and then Kenpachi just kicks him. He's like, you're in the way. Urahara and Yamamoto made plans so captain-level Soul Reapers would eventually be able to invade Hueco Mundo. After they left, Urahara finished the tunnel to Hueco Mundo so they could send people. We cut back to Sayapora for like 1 second for him to notice someone behind him. Captain Unohana and Asane are there with the Esquisas and just watching with Chad and GM. The Espada with Rukia is about to kill her, but then Byakuya is just behind him like a cryptid. Like, he doesn't teleport in. There's not a dramatic music sting. They just, like, pull the camera out from showing the Espada's face, and Byakuya is just fucking there.
I've never felt so bad for anyone I didn't care about in my life. Like, holy shit, Kai. You don't even know.
Kenpachi complains that he could have taken care of all of these guys all by himself. And then we see the one talking to Sayaporo is Mary. The one with Rukia, oh, by the way, 196 has been the hardest episode to recap in this entire, since I've done it, because it cuts every 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's very old school in that way. It reminds me of early seasons of Bleach, where that was just what they did, and I don't know why, and it was so savage.
So if you're listening and this is difficult to follow, you're not the fucking only one. The one with Rukia introduces himself to Byakuya. He is a spot of number 7, Zomari Riru. Then there's a bunch of cuts of all the captains talking shit to the guys they're going to fight. Unohana says, we're not here, she talks to the Esquisas and is like, we're not here to fight, so why don't you guys just leave? Then before they can answer, we cut back to Zomari with Byakuya. And Zomari's like, I didn't fight, or somebody else fought her. I just came here later. And then Byakuya kind of makes this face like, that's not going to change what I'm going to do, but I might feel slightly differently about it. Kenpachi and Noitora are already fighting. Ichigo tries to complain, and Yachiru does like a Liu Kang bicycle kick on him to make him shut up. And Orihime is like completely aghast that she's just pummeling him while he's injured. The Hollow Stealth Force are like look at Unohana and are like, oh yeah, you're the one that seems safe. Even we can tell, we better just go.
You're a captain who hasn't shown a power at all yet. That worries me.
Yeah, I think every other captain has fought somebody at this point, except Yamamoto. So they retreat because they're like, we're basically the stealth force. We'll just get our ass beat super hard. We should just leave.
We should just go.
Mayuri shit talks Ishida, and Ishida gets mad. Peche and Dadonchaka come out of the rubble and run some shtick. Sayaporo gets sick of it and says he's just going to kill Mayuri so he doesn't need to find out Mayuri's name. And then Mayuri says, but I need your name because I'm going to put you in a jar. And I need to know what to put on the jar.
I need to know what to put on the jar. It's so good.
Byakuya and Zomari start fighting. Zomari seems to teleport behind him, but there's two of him, I guess. It's like a fucking Dragon Ball after image type thing.
Yeah, was it Tien who did this exact thing?
Not like this. I mean, Goku did this.
Okay.
There's a lot of shit in anime that's I move so fast, I leave an image that also does something somehow.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this specific thing I feel like is cribbing from Sakigake Otoko Juku, where you had a character who could make exactly 5 clones by moving real fast. Anyway, we cut back to Sayaporo and Mayuri again. Mayuri laughs. Peche and Dadonchaka run a bit about how Sayaporo must have told a joke, but they can't tell how. Then they start shaking Ishida until it aggravates his injuries. Cut back to Zomari and Byakuya. Zomari says his Sonido is the fastest of all the Espada, and he can use it to make after images. Byakuya says that's useless since he already told him about it. They scrap a little, and Byakuya cuts him, and then Zomari says, I can make more than one clone, and Byakuya says, fucking obviously, dumbass, and, like, reaches behind him and shoots a Byakurai back, like, through his coat and blasts the third clone. And then we cut back to Kenpachi. They fight and fight and fight, and nothing happens. We cut back to Sayaporo and Mayuri. Sayaporo tries to eat Mayuri with his tendrils. We cut back to Zomari again, and he makes a fourth and fifth clone, and they, like, double impale in Byakuya. Then we cut back to Kenpachi for, like, 10 frames.
What a nightmare.
And then cut back to Zomari. Zomari acts like he won, but Byakuya just teleported out of his captain's hair. He used a stealth force technique he learned from Yoruichi to escape. and like grumbles that he had to use something she taught him to succeed. Then Kenpachi says he's going to stop holding back. And then Mayuri says he's going to own the shit out of Saeyaporo. And then Byakuya says, I'm so much fucking stronger than you. You have no idea.
I really did love this back and forth where like the captains show up and you're like, oh shit, the captains, and all the Uranka are like, ha ha ha, we're not afraid of you. And then the tone shifts back where the captains are like, you fucking should be.
You should be.
It is kind of fucking stupid that they had the, if Aizen has 10 Fasto Lordess, we're all fucked. It's like, I guess not, because he dropped some of the captains and problems started being resolved.
I legitimately started thinking, oh man, maybe I should have just stuck with it a little longer, because this just kneecaps the timetable I had in my head for going through each of these fucking Espada.
Yeah, when you start fighting three at once, it helps.
Yeah, it helps just a little bit.
The Arrancar Encyclopedia. Gin will explain Zomari. He uses Himelos Sonido to make clones. Byakuya appears behind him and says he's arrogant. Then Zomari teleports behind him and disagrees. They teleport behind each other over and over and over until they leave the room and then leave Las Noches into Hueco Mundo proper. This is a Buso Rinkin reference. Buso Rinkin being the manga that the pedophile who did Rurouni Kenshin did after Kenshin. Mm-hmm. This literal exact joke is in it, where the characters teleported behind each other to leave the room.
I've actually watched all of that and I don't remember it, but I believe you.
Let me grab the page. I think I even prepared it in preparation for this exact post.
Ooh.
I mean, for this exact moment.
I mean, I hope that's the case and that you don't just have it on you at all times.
We hear like some shuffling sounds. One moment, it's around her somewhere in my jacket.
So yeah,
oh my God.
The exact same bit.
It's a good bit. I can't deny that.
It is a good bit. I actually, right. I remembered this. I thought it was actually in the show, though. Like, I thought it was in the story. Like, it was just some weird comedy bit Byaki used to maneuver him away from Rukia.
Yeah. I genuinely thought this would be a real thing that happened in an episode for a reason other than just being funny.
Right.
Anyway, episode 197. We're back in the 4-minute recap zone. It's a lot. It's Hanataro. He was right about showing up soon. He's running through the weird building Rukia is in. Byakuya abandoned him because he can't lose Flash Tap. He trips on Hanataro. Some of the ice. He runs into a split and doesn't know where to go. Zomari and Byakuya are facing off. Zomari gets really butthurt about being called arrogant and says he's not arrogant because he's shown Byakuya respect as equal. And then Byakuya is like, you think we're equals. Zomari gets so pissed he releases with, subside brujeria, and turns his head sideways as he does, like outright sideways, like it cracks so his like his jaw is facing left. Then his sword like bends into a spiral and then he gets covered in cum. I mean reishi.
Yes, thank yes. you.
He turns into a freaky thing with a flesh skirt covered in faces and eyes. He extends a palm at Byakuya and Byakuya moves with flash step. Zomari calls him jumpy. It put a seal on Byakuya's left leg that lets him control it. He gives a speech about how everything is controlled. The clouds are controlled by the wind. People are controlled by their supervisors. The supervisors listen to their king. Blah, 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 blah. His powers let him control anything his eyes gaze on. He commands Byakuya's left leg to come, and it begins to walk forward. And Byakuya immediately slashes his own tendons. He tries to control Rukia, but Byakuya jumps in the way. Hanataro arrives and runs up to Byakuya while whining about a bunch of things. He's like, oh, I'm Spike Spencer. Then Byakuya just tells him to move back and go Super Saiyan. And he's like, you need to stay back because I can't not get you involved if you don't. Unohana and Isane, her lieutenant, heal Chad and GM. They can feel everybody powering up and beginning to fight. Kenpachi and Noitora fight some more. It's just them it's basically them playing grab ass with swords. Like they're not really trying very hard. We cut black back to Byakuya. His left arm now has the seal on it, and he slashes the tendons in that, too. Hanataro throws a little fit. Zomari praises Byakuya for being so ruthless and practical. He calls Byakuya arrogant again and says he's clearly no match for him. Then Byakuya just says, the difference in strength between us is as vast as the difference between heaven and earth. Zomari is like the guy who gets told to kill himself on Twitter and then continues trying to debate the person who said that.
Right?
That's so true.
Like, I felt bad for him before. But then he shows his power. I'm like, oh my god, bro. You're about to get type matched into the fucking ground.
Yeah, when his power also is like this thing that doesn't even involve the flash step, I'm like, oh no. You were doomed. Why was your flash step thing your biggest thing, and then your release is I stand here in one place? What could go wrong?
Yeah, he's like a really poorly designed Overwatch character.
Yes.
As long as what I'm going up against is a reasonable number of things, get Zerg Rush.
Right? That is some Russian air defense shit.
Yeah, Zomari says he can control one thing for each eye and then reveals he took control of Ruki's body and has her slash Hanataro. If he controls the head, he can control an entire being. It's not really clear how this works exactly.
That one was... He even said the injuries didn't matter. Like, why?
Right?
He has Rukia put her sword to her neck and tells Byakki to surrender, but Byakki just locks her down with a Hado. He then bankais. It's like, oh, I'm tired of this. The pillars of swords and everything sprout. They split into the petals, and Zomari opens all his eyes and has like a cope fit. He's like, I can control everything. I'll control everything. And Byakki almost literally says, bro, I counted. You have 50 eyes. I have hundreds of millions of these petals.
It was a lot like the ending of Commando. You know, that guy's just sitting there, I can kill you, I can do it, I've got this!
And then Zomari has like a breakdown as they all slam into him, episode over.
It was pretty good.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers, not golden.
Not golden.
Yachiru is dressed in a little cat outfit with like a cat ear headband and paw gloves, and she catches a koi out of a pond at night, and then the next day, Byakki is looking at his koi pond, and he's like, where are the carps going?
What the fuck?
Episode 198. It's another huge recap, damn. This one's even longer. This one's like, fuck, this is another one of those fucking 20% of the episode things. Byakki explains his ability before it like goes off like a nuke and erases Zomari from reality. It destroys the entire fucking building they were in. Zomari managed to survive by like curling into a ball with his flesh skirt, but he is bleeding everywhere and every single one of his eyes was gouged out. Then he opens more eyes, but Byakki blocks it with a shield Hado and says, well, when I was able to stop Rukia from moving, I realized Hado could counteract your power, so I just casted a shield to block your bullshit. Zomari copes again and Byakki teleports behind him. Zomari asks for mercy and Byakki just hits him with the fluoride stare. Then Zomari has a really long and stupid breakdown about what gives Soul Reapers the rights to kill Hollows. And it's really long and dumb about like, who gives you the right? Even if we kill people, who said you have the right to protect humans? Blah, 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 blah. And goes on and on and on. And Byakki says, I don't care about any of that. I'm just pissed that you tried to kill Rukia. Not for any other reason. Then he calls Rukia his pride, which is a pretty funny thing to do to somebody you were going to have killed for jaywalking like 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Zomari gets slashed and screams praises to Aizen's name as he dies. What a cuck.
Right? I want all the seconds we spent panning across him at that fucking table back.
I feel like he got maybe the worst draw he could have on Captain's to fight.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the three that showed up would have gone better. He's like he has weird freaky power that wouldn't have played well against Mayuri.
No.
It just wouldn't have worked on Kenpachi.
Yeah, he would have Goku'd that shit. He would have just ignored it.
It would have been like, my power level's higher than yours. Sorry.
I'm not saying it would have gone better in any other scenario, but the situation of, yeah, of course Byakki is not going to listen to you.
Anyway, Isane shows up because the fucking building exploded, and Byakki tells her to tend to the injured. We sure haven't seen Aizen for a while. I have to just imagine him sitting in that chair fucking zoned out because he's stoned again, and it's just like, boss, and Gin is just like, boss, like four buildings have blown up. He's like, whatever.
One must imagine Aizen high as fuck.
It's like, don't bother me, Gin. I'm having that nightmare where Kenpachi shows up and wrecks all my shit.
I Oh man, every waking moment of his life has been living in fear of that.
I think we've got this as long as he doesn't show up.
They wouldn't just airdrop him into Horkimondo, though, would they?
No!
Mayuri is on the ground panting. Sayaporo is smug and has the Mayuri doll. Sayaporo nudges the doll and Mayuri screams. He pops the doll open to get the organs. He crushes one of them and Mayuri pukes a little. The saliva that was obviously blood in the manga. He does this a couple times and he gloats and crushes a bunch. And then Mayuri gets up into his face and goes, "Got you!" and makes like a funny face. He's not hurt at all. Sayaporo keeps crushing the doll and the organs and it doesn't do shit. And then he has like a breakdown over it. Mayuri says his power is boring. He explains that ever since he fought Ishida back in Soul Society, he's had him infected with a surveillance bacteria, so he knows everything that's happened to him. When he learned Sayaporo's power, he just made tons of fake organs and muscles to soak up all the damage.
Yeah, it's literally the Invader Zim bit. I was expecting fucking him to pop out with all those organs. Right. We could be at this all day, bro!
I would like to assume that they're in a tank somewhere back at Soul Society. It just diverts the power to those.
I don't know. I feel like he has them in his body, but maybe that's just me.
At first, before he explains this, I was like, is he going to explain that he doesn't need organs or bones to work?
I mean, we've seen this guy turn into a pile of goo,
right?
So clearly he doesn't.
Anything's possible.
Ishida gets indignant because he's afraid Mayuri saw him jerking off. There's like a really long tangent where she's screaming at him to give him back his privacy, and then he gets too worked up and tires himself out. Sayaporo grabs Nimmu with one of the flesh tendrils, and Nimu's like, "Bro, I'm a sociopath assistant. He don't care." While Mayuri is just zoning out. Mayuri has been like zoning out a lot in this fight where he just goes wall-eyed and just stares into space.
It's pretty good.
In retrospect, I interpret that face as, oh my god, this idiot's gonna do it.
He bonkais and summons the poison baby. Sayaporo starts rotting from the poison and his flesh wings start melting and he screams and cries and the baby moves in for a kill and the episode ends. Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers, not golden.
Not golden.
Yachiru shows up to eat all the sweets Ukitake received as get well presents during his most recent bout of anime wasting disease. He says, "Well, at least the carp have gotten so big that I can enjoy a little fishing when I get bored." And Rukia says, "Yeah, Byaki is worried because all his carp seem to be vanishing." And Yachiru continues eating and doesn't comment. Episode 199. Rukia wakes up. Isane is healing her. She already healed Hanataro. Rukia sees Byaki and does the brother con bit a little bit. Kenpachi and Noitora continue playing grab ass like they've been doing for four episodes. They do a little bit of the sucking each other off, like, "Looks like I won't get bored with you. Look more like I won't get bored with you." Orihime finally fucking realizes, oh shit, maybe I should heal people.
Oh. God damn it.
And goes to heal Ichigo, but he's like, "Heal Nell first," while he just watches Noitora and Kenpachi chop at each other.
It's like, I don't want to miss this.
Yeah, it's like, they're gonna do something good. They're both fucking crazy.
I was stunned. I was like, oh my god, did Ichigo just make a tactically sound decision?
Chad wakes up and sees Unohana. Apparently Kenpachi and Noitora are so loud they can be heard miles away. We cut back to Sayaporo. The baby's eating him. Ishida and Rinji are understandably horrified. Nimmu is dangling from the flesh tentacle that is sticking out of the baby's mouth. Rinji gets sick from Mayuri's poison, but Ishida has antibodies, or not, because then he starts getting poisoned after, and Mayuri gives a little tangent like, "Obviously I change the poison every use. What are you, stupid?" Nimmu asks him to untie her, but Mayuri zones out again. He throws the antidote at Rinji and Ishida, and then something starts happening with Nimmu. She coughs out like a bunch of smoke that becomes like a really graphic, like, ovum scene. Like, it starts with an egg that repeatedly divides in, like, but like made of pink smoke goo. And then Sayaporo's voice starts talking. He's like, I can replace somebody's body and regenerate from them. Nimmu is dying because I'm taking all their reishi to be reborn like the phoenix. Then he drops down reborn. He gives a big speech about how he's a phoenix, a being whose existence is not affected by death. Mayuri cannot defeat him, blah, 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 blah. Mayuri ignores him and goes to check on Nimmu, who's kind of just sputtering. And then Mayuri's like, "Your power is interesting. Do you have anything else?" because I kind of sussed out all your stuff so far.
Come on, you've got to have something, like a pre-order bonus or something else lying in wait. He's just like, stop it. This is so rude.
Well, he seemingly does. He can control the poison bay because his original body dissolved and like merged with the thing's nucleus and neural structure, and he gloats. But then it pops like a balloon because Mayuri activated his trap card. And he's like, obviously, I designed it. Obviously, I included a failsafe in case it attacked me. He says he's going to test a new drug on Sayaporo, and Sayaporo's like, I'm not going to fucking let you do that, and like gets on guard and says, no, you were reborn from Nimmu, so it's already affecting you. It's a superhuman drug that dilates your sense of time. So the world is now in super slow motion to Sayaporo. 1 second is 100 years from his perspective. So he's basically frozen in time. Then Mayuri just shoves the sword through his chest and he dies.
So good.
Oh my god. Sayaporo held out the longest, continuing to cling to the faith that he was him. And he was not. Like, he had so far been like the prettiest clown at the circus with his whole shitty fight. And then Mayuri shows up in immaculate drag and just puts him in the fucking ground. It's so good.
Yeah, it's not often you just see literally just, yeah, no, I'm the better version of you from last season. I'm sorry, it's over.
Illustrated Guide to Soul Reapers. Not golden. Now, Kyoraku's lieutenant and head of the Shinigami Women's Association is finishing a budgetary meeting. Yamamoto's lieutenant, whose name I forget, Isane and Byakuya are all there getting funding for the tea ceremony, flower arrangement, and calligraphy clubs. The men's association is there represented by Tetsuzaimon, who apparently managed to secure funding. Mayuri shows up and is like, I need funding for new experiments, and everybody votes to give him the men's association's
money. Anywhere else is better, I guess.
Those were our episodes.
Woo! Thank you for taking us through all those, Chris. And now it's time for our segments. We get to start with my favorite segment, Best Dressed. I'm going to cheat this time and say I get to choose first.
Oh. It's good to be king.
It is! It's definitely not because there's so few options. This time I'm just like, I need to get this in. I've got to select Cat Yachiru. It was great. She was a little cat. She stole the car. It was great.
I mean, it was great. But Bob, that's clearly not an outfit. That's just how she looks now. She's just a cat.
I don't know. That looked pretty outfit core. Like, I think I could see the seams.
No, absolutely not.
Well, Dan, what do you think? Who do you think was the best dressed? Was the Manator?
Nemu.
She hasn't been here forever. It's fair.
Yeah, she rarely shows up. I appreciate Nemu. I feel bad for Nemu every second she's on screen.
Yep.
That's just how it is. So I don't know. I can't really give best dress to that Manator. The Manator's not wearing anything.
I know. Chris, who do you think?
I'm going to give it to Mayuri. His new outfit's pretty great. It was so great that Kubo cosplayed as it.
Oh, sick.
Fantastic.
It is incredibly strong.
Yeah, the whole Pharaoh thing. It's, oh my God, he was so good in this set.
God, I hate... Like, I could imagine the, like, fly landing on his eye when he does that bug-eyed look, and it's just, ugh.
It's great.
Dr. Edgar, what do you think?
You know, sometimes it's the addition of a single accessory that can elevate an entire outfit, which is why this time I'm giving it to my man Kenpachi for having that one perfect accent point set off the whole look.
He had something new?
Well, I wasn't here for, like, all of Soul Society, so...
Okay.
This is the first time he's done it in canon for me.
Jesus.
Anyway, here's Kubo as Mayuri making that exact face Mayuri made at one point.
Shit.
God.
That's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot to deal with.
Ugh.
You wonder if he already had the hat and then he just drew Mayuri in it?
You do have to wonder. Why do I look at this image in here? Rangers!
It's because it's like watching a show, you think that stuff around his head is feathers or something, but then seeing it in here, it's just the Power Rangers like plastic helmet.
Yeah, I thought it was horn material, but like blue. I didn't expect highly metallic, you know, something that's a lot to deal with. This image, Jesus. Maybe that's the fucking thumbnail this time.
It'd be appropriate.
Yeah, this was like 2 months after the Bleach manga ended.
Oh, wow. He held on to that for a while.
Yeah, he did.
You don't have time to fucking get that shit together when you're working on a weekly manga. You barely have time to sleep. Right? That's why all these people die at 55.
Well, Dan, how excited are you to continue watching Bleach? Remember, this is a 1 to 10 scale.
I'm going to say 10 because this is the greatest set of episodes we've watched in a very long time. Cap starts showing up and start wrecking people.
Right? That's always fun.
Yeah, next time is a Kenpachi fight. So,
so there you go.
Yeah, we did go in this planning to watch just like a couple episodes that day. And then it's like, oh, that wasn't a good place to stop. And kept watching these.
Yeah, we literally planned to do two and then pick up the rest another day and then watched all five at like 6 in the morning.
Chris, did you bring any insane trivia other than the cosplay? Which is real.
His trivia. Is this real or Photoshop?
In Kubo's notes, originally, Mayuri was intended to be a character that battled with Ishida multiple times before finally being defeated and killed. Then he decided he would rather keep Mayuri around to showcase how a good-aligned organization can keep around deeply evil people who advance their goals. Is this true or false, Dan?
This is just asking me how based I think Kubo is.
I'm gonna say
yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
I'm going to say true because I want to believe it.
Aggro.
I'm going to say no because he just did it to take that W away from Ishida.
According to him, he did it to showcase that a seemingly good organization can have really evil people as a part of it.
As an American, I just can't subscribe to that sort of moral relativism.
Oh, yeah, that's just too far reach and seems unrealistic. Yeah,
what good organization is here in America?
All right, before we move on to our final thoughts on the episode and our tightness scale, we have something important to discuss now that we've had a whole set of five episodes where Renji was on the ground.
Okay. What do we need to discuss, Bob?
What is Renji's, like, shonen archetype rank? Like, is he a Vegeta?
Is he a Yamcha? Is he a Krillin? What is he?
I mean, if we're going to DBZ, he's pretty, like, he's somewhere between Krillin and Tien. He's, he's really way more Tien now that I think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he goes almost Yamcha tier with how much he gets owned.
Yeah, it's, you know, Tien, you can pin some badges to.
See, I don't think he's a good, like, he's obviously a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
But Tien, like, nobody in Dragon Ball except Vegeta really counts as a fraud, but he's not really like Vegeta. He's like, a lot of shonen manga have, like, the third guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Has Joey / Jinochi. One Piece has Sanji. Renji is like that archetype, but a fraud. Like, he always loses.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be the actual closest trope model for a Worf.
Oh,
he is,
yeah,
a Worf. I've said that before. It's so sad whenever they're like, this guy's really cool, he owned Renji, and I'm like, okay, so that means something to you.
Yeah, okay, that's so sad.
For Worf or for Renji?
For Worf. But that really is what they use him for.
You remember at the end of the Fade to Black movie where Renji was the one who got the last hit on the big monster thing?
Did he? I thought he just got the last hit on the rubble.
Yeah, I only remember him getting the rubble.
They needed to, like, break a rock or some shit. and they let him do it.
Well, here's the thing. I don't remember that.
You know who Renji is really like?
Okay. Mm.
Samanosuke from Rurouni Kenshin.
Oh, not...
No, Sanosuke is his name. Sanosuke.
Samanosuke is the guy from Onimusha.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sanosuke. Like, they keep telling you he's big and strong and tough, but he's, like, so obviously not on the level of anyone else in this franchise. Like, they have to introduce a guy just for him to fight in the arc where Kenshin fights, like, 18 guys.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And he still almost loses to that one guy. That's the archetype he reminds me of most. He's, like, the rough guy who isn't technically proficient and loses constantly.
Yeah, that does sound like Renji.
Yeah. All right. God. What a fraud. And now that we've settled that, we'd move on to our final thoughts and are reviewing this on our tightness scale of 0 to 25. Dr. Agro, how tight were these episodes?
Oh, man. It was the most of being him. It was the least of being him. It was the summer of thinking he was. It was the winter of bitch you thought. This series of episodes, like I started it up and went, oh God, this fucking Silaporo fight is still happening. Why am I here? And then they just airdropped in some captains to go, don't worry, this arc's not gonna be that tedious. I could just fucking hear Party Rock Anthem slowly raise in volume in the back as I realized, oh my God, cool shit's gonna happen after all. 23.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I knew it was coming. That's the only reason I wasn't just down on how long some of these fights were lasting. I was like, oh, but he's about to show up. My ear's about to ruin everything.
On the morning of the third day, look to my coming to the east.
Chris, how high did you think these were?
These were pretty great. I'm going to give, except the only problem was how fucking disjointed night 196 was. So I'm going to give this a 23.
Yeah, I have to agree. This was a really great set of episodes. I loved seeing all these characters come in. This is a good way to use those captains we haven't seen in a while. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 22. Dan?
I've been thinking about this a lot. And based on the numbers I gave all these other sets of episodes and how strongly I felt about them, I genuinely believe I'm sitting at a 24 here. This was a really great set of episodes. And if anything, I should be more worried about the next set, having to follow this act.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was strangely, bizarrely excellent. Like, I didn't expect this.
Yeah, there's no like foreshadowing on this. It's just, they're here now.
The stuff that precedes this does not even lend to the space in which this existed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing prepares you for, don't worry about the baby horse girl. Don't worry about that. That ain't the concern. Kimpachi's here.
Right?
That's a movie move. That's not a normal Bleach move. Yeah, it was really excellent. Very few things looked rough, even. I believe it's just a early on episode with some unimportant shots looked pretty rough.
Yeah, I wish that some of the Nell stuff got to look as good as most of this did.
Yeah. But then we got some really good shit with fucking captains.
Bob, I don't know what you're talking about. There was that one cut where she used her foot to block that guy's blade, and it was better animated than anything else in the fight.
I wonder why that would be.
Let's ask the animation director.
Yeah, what I was thinking with this shot is it would be really cool. Like, sure, maybe her hands are busy, right? And she just puts her foot right up in the camera.
We just told it that for a little while.
Slowly zoom.
Is it a metaphor?
No, I just like feet.
Okay, yeah, I figured.
Any more shoeless females we got to fight?
Oh yeah, we got a whole new set of enemies.
That one female Arrancar that we haven't seen much of, just like, I didn't notice her being barefoot until she's now.
She's
happened?
Like, well, time to do battle. The handstands and starts walking.
Now I have to check, is she barefoot? None of these images of her show her feet, so I can't be sure. Okay, here's a statue. She does indeed have shoes.
Okay, right. That's good.
We're safe.
For now, who knows when the director comes back.
Hey, before you down that jug of bleach, how about you head on over to patreon.com/GBpodcast? You can get the next episode of Chugging Bleach early and help support us doing insane 7-year-long endeavors like watching all of Bleach. We also do many other shows that you can get extras for, and if you ascend to Vasto Pod Lourdes, you'll even get credit for it on Big Think Dimension, our weekly gaming podcast. If not, that's fine. We'll see you next time, you're thirsty for some bleach.